Welcome to episode 47 of Behaviorally Speaking, a podcast featuring board-certified behavior analysts Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi. On this episode, they talk about essential skills kids should learn before they leave the nest and ways their parents can cope with these big changes too. And now, here are your hosts, Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi.
Hello and welcome to our 47th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Angela Nelson, a board-certified behavior analyst and mother of two.
And I'm Kristen Bondi, also a board-certified behavior analyst and mother of three. Hey, Angie, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. This is back to school. We had spring break and now we are back to the early morning and the pack of the lunches and the homework, back to the grind.
Just in time for summer. I feel like it's like, I'm already like summer, getting ready for summer.
I know. I feel like every year around this time we talk about prepping for camps.
Yeah,
and
we do.
There's a lot of texts going around with my friends and my kids' friends' parents asking, okay, what are you guys going to sign up for? And it's just like a mad dash to, you know, get some of these registrations because some of them go so fast.
I know.
Summer's almost here.
Yeah. Well, I have a funny story to tell you. I was saving it for now, so you haven't heard this.
Okay.
I think it's funny. I don't know. So it just happened last night. So we have, I think my youngest, who is two, he's actually going to be three at the end of this month, which is insane if you can't believe it. I know.
I can't believe it.
So we're kind of, you know, working on potty training, which I don't know, but I think like the more kids you have, like you think it'd get easier, but for some reason, like I don't know why it gets harder.
No, you get more tired.
That's my experience anyway.
Right. To coordinate.
Yeah. So we're working on potty training. It's going okay. And he's doing great at school, of course, right? Because there's like, it's routine and they send him and all that stuff. So the last 2 days, he does fine all day, but then we had baseball in the evenings. Well, last night, it was like 5:30 and I took him to the bathroom right when we got to baseball. And I was like, good job. Yay. Go pee pee. Right. And then 30 minutes later, I'm thinking, oh man, like, do I need to take him again? He's not requesting, he's not telling me he needs to go yet. So I was like, I'll just give it a couple minutes. We'll see how it goes. And then a couple minutes later, I go over and I was like, oh no, Theo, you went pee-pee. And he was sitting and he was kind of standing and like playing with some of the little kids there. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even look up at me and he goes, duh.
Oh.
And I was like,
what a rascal.
Right. And I was like, oh boy. Like, if this is any indicator of how three is going to go for me with him, like, I'm going to be in so much trouble. But it's interesting.
He's a teenager.
Yes. And what's interesting is obviously he's learned that from like another kid or probably his sibling, is my guess. But I'm like, duh. Like, who learns duh at like 2.5, almost 3?
Was he very proud of himself and looked at you to see what your reaction was?
No, the craziest thing was he actually just like was playing with a doll because the kids were like playing dolls and he kind of went, duh. And I'm like, then I like second guessed myself. Whoa. Like, did he say that? Or am I hearing things? So anyway, then I took him to the potty and then there we went. But I was oh no. Oh no.
It's starting.
I know.
We're entering a new phase.
Mm-hmm. Yes, oh, which is completely different from our podcast today, in which
I know I was going to say
talking about in like
one end
years.
Of the spectrum to the other.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah. So today has nothing to do with potty training.
No.
But we are going to be talking about how to help our kids and parents emphasize. On the emphasis on the and parents, prepare for transitioning out of the home. We actually have had quite a few requests for this topic. So I'm excited to dive in. We're going to break up this podcast episode into two segments. So we're going to talk about skills for kids and then also preparation for the parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like you had said, you know, this one's been coming up quite a bit and maybe it's because we're again kind of getting into the summer. And I know always around this time, I get a lot of parents who are like, oh, my kid's going off to college or my kid's moving out. And so we start to get a lot of questions. And over the years, since this does come up a lot, I've noticed that there's really not a lot of research in this area or like all the books and all of the like, you know, quick tips and this, the help stuff for parents, right? Like we tend to see that it's for like potty training, like I said, right? Or sleep training or, you know, any sort of behavioral concerns for your kids. But there's not a lot that's like, hey, here's how you prepare for your kids to leave the house. And not only like when they're 18, how do we prepare when they're 12, right? So I think it's the whole point of this is like transitions are hard. So let's start thinking about it now. I feel like that's a common theme with all of our podcasts, but you know, let's be proactive. Let's think about it now so that we can actually be prepared when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Oh my gosh. Well, so let's dive into it, shall we? Should we get into the skills?
Yeah.
So for skill one, we've got several different skills here, and we're going to talk about what we should be focusing right now in terms of teaching our kids. So that proactive piece, doing it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So it's important to think about what daily living skills, or when your kids are younger, we could call them chores, that they are doing that you might want to integrate in. That would be really important for them to know when they get out of the house. So, you know, think about kind of just surveying your day. What are some of the things that you do to keep your household running? When we think about things, sometimes we talk about laundry. That's kind of an easy one, right? But it's not just how do we separate the clothes into the different types of, you know, batches or some stuff we might use or put in cold water wash and warm water and so on. But also think about things like how often do we wash our sheets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you know, kids can pretty much figure out, okay, I've run out of, you know, clean socks or something like that. So I'll do some laundry or maybe even pick a day of the week just to integrate it into routine. But they may not know things like how often do we change our sheets. So I'll never forget, you know, when you go to college and you hear those stories of some people that just didn't wash their sheets the whole quarter or whole semester.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Wow. And they just bring it home in between on the holidays. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah. Also, other things like we were talking about when we were prepping this for this, food preparation. Mm-hmm. And not only food prep, but also just, and we're going to talk a little bit more about just taking care of your body in general, but thinking about healthy food prep. We don't, you know, are kids just using the microwave all the time, or can they at least start working on some of the basics when they're still living under your roof? So can they make rice? Can they make pasta? Can they cut up some fruits and vegetables and, you know, saute them or whatever you, you want? But yeah, I think it is important to kind of survey what your kids know how to do now. And you know this, Kristen, I'm a big fan of chores. My kids have had chores since they were toddlers and age appropriate, of course. But it is important to kind of think about if you've got kids in upper elementary and especially when they're getting into middle school and high school, if they don't have any chores and they're not doing any self-help or helpful things to manage the house, it's a good time to get on that because it's not only going to help your household right now, but it's definitely some good life skills for when they move out.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking when you were talking about laundry, thinking about can kids plan ahead, right? Like as we're doing as parents, like your jersey's dirty, or what about your cheerleading outfit? Or what about, you know, like at certain schools, they might change out for track or something like that, or for like PE. So those are things that sometimes are not right in front of their face, right? They're not thinking, that's right, I have a soccer game tomorrow. Oh no, right? Yeah. Like we kind of do that. I do that now, of course, because my kids are much younger, but that's something that I'm even thinking about now. I'm like, gosh, Parker's going to be 8 this summer. So yeah, he should be starting to think about like, hey, what am I doing this week? Oh, I've got 2 baseball games. Do I have clothes for that? Mm-hmm. I did start teaching him, which was, I don't know if I told you this, this is a little while ago, but I did teach him that when his laundry was full to bring it out, like out of his room and put it in the hallway. So I would see it because I would have of course I'm like in their rooms, but I'm not paying attention to his laundry basket. So I was like, when you need laundry, your job is to put it out. So I know. And really I did that. So like he would start paying attention when he needed laundry versus me going in and knowing he needed his laundry done. Yeah. And I kind of told him and I was like, sure, it'll pick up. He'll do it one day, right? And then it was like a week later, his laundry was sitting in the hallway. And I said to my husband, like, did you put his laundry in the hallway? And he was like, no. And I was like, it worked. He put his laundry in the hallway.
That's great.
Yes. And then my daughter has started doing it now too because she noticed that he did it. And I was like, yes, nice. We're moving. Yeah. And I think they could totally start doing, or at least separating their laundry now and putting it away.
Oh, yeah. My kids, I'll wash them, but I basically just put it back in their bin and put it up upstairs. And then their job is to dump it out, sort it, fold it, put it away. They're 8 and 10 now. And they can definitely do. You know, it's funny. I think we talked about this on a previous podcast, but this was one of those things that I wasn't going to prioritize. If they wanted to just shove their stuff in their drawers, I didn't care. I was going to, that wasn't a battle I was going to pick. But they both have taken an interest in folding their clothes now. So I'm like, hey, you do you. That's, you know, that's good. But I do love how you bring up the executive functioning piece. Of course you do. You're the queen of executive functioning. But yeah, the anticipating what I might need, planning and prioritization. I love that. Yeah. That's one of those things that I don't think we've explicitly loaded in here, but I think could overlay into a lot of these skills.
Yep. Yeah. And one more thing I was just thinking that's going to overlay into everything, and we didn't talk about this when we were prepping. I think a lot of us as parents might show our love to our children by doing things for them.
Yeah.
Right. Like sometimes I actually, like when I'm folding their laundry, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this shirt is so cute. Right. And like we're doing it. And like I feel like sometimes for a lot of these tips, we will have to like, okay, but you got to move away from that. Right. Like think about the big picture here. And, you know, if you like doing your kids' laundry, which some parents do, right, then it's like, okay, but we have to kind of let go a little bit. So
yeah,
that was more of a pep talk for myself.
Really. it's like the love language, right? Like, yes. Acts of kindness is your way of love language. And also, I think it's a good time to mention, too, culturally,
there are
different ways of doing things in different families. You know, so certainly, you know, we want to honor that. It tends to be in the United States, individuality and independence and kind of moving out, that tends to be a little bit more valued here, you know. But yeah, regardless, we want to be sensitive of those cultural differences. But I think big picture, we're talking about, you know, sure, we can do things, acts of kindness to show our kids we love them. But we also want to think about, are we equipping our kids with the skills so that they can do it independently if they need to or when they need to?
Yep, exactly. So that brings us to skill number two, which is financial literacy. You know, really, and I, you know, this is something that comes to me a lot from parents, and I love that. Even younger kids, like 5, 6, 7. And I've had so many parents talk to me about, with even with younger kids, I'm trying to teach my child how to save, right? How, you know, let's go get away from that instant gratification. You have $5. Do you need to spend all $5 right now? So really, at any age, but especially as we get closer to teens, teaching how can I have a credit card? How can I manage a credit card? You know, what is the word I'm looking for? Not safely. There's a word. It's oh my gosh. It's not safely.
Responsibly?
Yes. Woo! We did it. That's it.
We do kind of share the same thing.
We do that.
We talk about that all the time.
Okay. Yes. How can we have a credit card responsibly? Thank you. That's what I was looking for. So, you know, teaching kids how to have a credit card, how to save, and giving them opportunities to do that. And there's various cards you can get. I have a lot of families who use the Greenlight card. I'm not endorsing them. I'm just saying.
I keep hearing about the card. Yeah. Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really good opportunity to start teaching that. And then I think another topic that's really important, and I try to teach this to my kids, is what do you need versus what do you want, right? And so maybe we can start to say like, oh, yes, you do need new pants, or oh, you want new pants, right? But you have a lot of pants. So I think those are two really important skills to teach kids and teens.
And along with that too, I'm just thinking, one of my kids loves going shopping with me every Saturday morning. The other one could care less. But it's interesting because you could easily spend $150 or $200 and get the same sort of products. But all of the grocery stores with sales and, you know, my grocery store, I have an app and you can get points and you can get deals and things like that. And I'm all about it. Right. And so you could save a lot of money. And so I've really been trying to teach them, hey, let's, you know, there are certain things that you want to buy name brand, but there's a lot of things that really you can just buy the generic. And Yeah. So I'm teaching them early to get your prices.
Yeah. That's so smart. Yeah. That is so smart. I do that too, where I'm kind of like, but there's this one or this one. Like, this one's less money, but it's the same thing. So yeah. So smart.
They'll get a rude awakening if they haven't learned that and they go, they get into an apartment and they're like, oh my gosh, $7 for a box of cereal? What?
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So skill three, taking care of themselves. So a couple different facets of this that we were brainstorming. Hygiene, of course, mm-hmm. Making sure that they know the basics. Those are things that we can teach kids when they're younger. Showering, making sure they're cutting their nails, those sorts of things, wearing deodorant, making doctor's appointments. That's a common one that comes up too. I remember as a kid, I was very shy. I did not want to call. This was right. Back in the day, right, where we didn't have the internet. So it was like you had to call, get out the yellow pages, call, make an appointment and all this stuff. And so being able to call to make your doctor's appointments, make your dentist appointments and so on can be a good thing to do when kids become teenagers. Mm-hmm. We also talked about independent medication administration. So that's a really, really important safety issue too. But especially if your child is getting to be older, getting close to moving out of the home, if you're still managing all their medications, that is definitely one that you want to start thinking mm-hmm. about. Especially if they have a daily medication, and especially if they have something that missing dosages could be pretty, significant. They really need to be able to manage that on their own. Other things too, staying fit after a lot of the more structured sort of extracurricular mm-hmm. things about school start to go away, right? You don't have to take PE anymore once you get out of high school. You don't, there aren't as many structured sports practices and so on. So how are your young adults going to continue to take care of themselves and their fitness?
Yeah. Or drink water.
Yes.
I get that one all the time. Like, how do I get my preteen, teen, and then, young adult to drink water?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know why. I just thought of that as you said, staying fit, also drinking water.
Right. One other one, too, that I really, really like, and I learned this back when I was doing in-home therapy for with a teenager. A teenager with autism, his mom came to me and said, hey, I looked in his shower and he has no soap, no shampoo, and I have no idea how long it's been like that.
Oh.
And so being able to assess when you need new toiletries is important. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking ahead too, like you had said, think ahead, especially for girls, feminine hygiene products and stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be caught with no supply of things that you need, right? So can you manage that stuff? Think ahead and buy, I'm almost out of deodorant or something. Mm-hmm. I need to get those things ahead of time. So those are all skills that kids should be learning before they move out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, I feel like I was thinking of how society today, or really technology today, changes a lot of what we just said, right? So, making a doctor's appointment now, you can just go online and say, schedule appointment, right? And then you can, it's so much easier now, but we still have to teach them how to do that. And then I think the same thing goes for having, keep making sure you have all the supplies you need, because there's that's subscribe and save, right? So mm-hmm. I could get my, my soap sent to me every 30 days for the rest of my life. I think there are for people that might even have trouble with that, I think even leaning mm-hmm. on some of those other tools that are helpful, the subscriptions and stuff could be, what I'm trying to say is if you feel like you're trying to teach your child this skill and they're not getting it, then,
lean on technology.
Right. Lean on technology to help. Exactly.
Yeah. You still got to teach them to leverage technology.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Way, way easier.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. So the next one, number four. So, and this one is one where we think about, okay, yes, we need to do this, but we just want to put it here as a reminder, right? So as your kids and teens get older, we want to start teaching them about self-advocacy and ways to keep themselves safe. So, my mind kind of goes to just creating some general rules for your child, right? So don't walk around in the middle at 1 a.m. if you don't feel like mm-hmm. you're in a safe neighborhood. Always bring a buddy, carry protection in some way, right? When I was younger, I used to carry pepper spray. Sidebar to that, So what's interesting is I was actually just with some friends the other day, and I was saying that I went to go visit my sister when she had her first baby in the hospital. And I didn't know that I had pepper spray in my backpack. And I was telling friends the story because there was like a golf tournament here, and my friend had something in her backpack that was medication, but they were like checking it. And so I was telling them that story, and they looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, what? You guys didn't carry pepper spray when you were in college? Like, why not? And they were like, no. And I was like, oh my goodness, you have to have pepper spray. And is that right?
I know a lot of people that did. Yeah.
My friends always told me, and my mom just taught me that. She was like, no, you always have to have this just in case. You never know. But I think obviously kind of what works in your family, but teaching your kids, okay, how do we make sure that we're staying safe? And then, you know, of course, teaching them about sex and drugs and all that stuff as well.
Consent
is really important. Yes, definitely consent. All of that's very important to start having those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so moving on to the next. So we're halfway through the kids' skills. Another one is transportation. So I think, you know, if your kid leaves the home and has a car, great. But that's not everybody. I'll never forget, I didn't actually have my own car until I was a senior in college. I lived on campus for a little while. And then my friends and I got an apartment, and they had cars, and I would just hitch a ride with them to campus. I went to UCLA for undergrad. It was a commuter school, you know, and LA is not known for their public transportation. So I'll never forget one day. One day they were all gone. They had to go to, you know, various places. And I'm standing in the living room thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get to class? I have no idea how I'm going to get there. True story. So over in the West LA area, there's a thing called the Big Blue Bus. And so this was before, you know, you had the smartphone. So I had to get on my computer and figure out the bus schedule and hightail it down to find out where the bus stop was and, you know, take the long route to school and, you know, find out how I was going to get back. And it was a whole to do. But I honestly had zero public transportation exposure when I was younger. And I was very proud of myself, but that was a huge deal for me to be able to navigate the public transportation system. So, you know, and of course, there are many people that grew up in New York City and you kind of just get acclimated to it at a young age. But the main thing here is make sure your kids know how to navigate transportation. Can they make airplane flight tickets? If they need to take a train, how does that work? Getting Uber and Lyft and the rideshare apps, how does that work, right? So making sure that they're educated around how they can transport themselves to point A, from point A to point B, especially if they don't have a car readily available.
Totally. And then going back to safety, I think that one can go along with safety, which I didn't even mention, but like, don't get in a car with someone that's been drinking. Advocate for yourself, right? Or check the license plate on your Uber, like stuff like that. Like, I do feel like, we see it now. I feel like lots of teens are seeing it on TikTok, like how to keep yourself safe. And that's great. But do a little assessment there, you know, make sure that they know all these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, number six, and this one might be my favorite of all of our tips. So when we were looking into this one, we found this and I had a big aha moment. But so thinking about, can your child solve their own problems, right?
So I love this one.
Yes. So as they start to get older, we as parents have to pull back and say, oh, how would you solve that problem? Did you think of a solution? Or what do you think you're going to do, right? And so, you know, if your child gets a bad, and this is a perfect example, might be grades in, you know, high school, for example. So if a child gets a bad grade, a parent might be like, let me just email your chemistry teacher. Let me just figure out what's going on here, right? Instead, we want your teenager to say, oh man, I forgot, you know, I got a bad grade, or I missed a test, or I missed that homework assignment. Let me go see what I can do. Let me ask if I could do extra credit. Let me ask, you know, let me go talk to the teacher. And essentially we're teaching them, like, we're not going to save you now. Like, you have to advocate for yourself and start to solve your own problems as, you know, as kids get older.
Yeah. I feel like this is a hot topic right now in the kind of parent spaces. It's the don't jump in and save your kid. I always like to tell the people I work with, when, you know, this is great to practice this when the stakes are low,
right?
A missing assignment, it's not gonna you know, absolutely demolish your dreams of going to your dream school, right? Especially if you're in sixth grade, you know? Let them experience natural consequences. It doesn't mean you don't love them. You're actually being very strategic about helping them develop the skills to be maybe more responsible or think ahead or kind of survey the backpack. Did I pack my, you know, my homework that I finished so I could get credit for it? So, yeah. And letting them solve their own problems. Don't just rush in and give them the answer. It's not, you might feel good in the moment and feel like you're supporting them, but it's not going to serve them well when you're not there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got two more skills for the kids. Skill number 7, do they have any work experience or have they had a job? We know from, and Kristen, you and I work a lot within the autism community. There's actually some good research that shows kids that have jobs, autistic kids who have jobs before they graduate high school are much more likely to be employed after high school. And so it's that job experience. It's kind of going through that whole, you know, those steps of looking for a job, going through the interview, being able to respond to having a boss and colleagues and, you know, following a schedule and so on. Maybe if it's not a formal job, maybe it's something that they can come up with on their own. I know I did a lot of babysitting.
And yeah, me too.
That is such a great job. I had a lot of regular clients, so it ended up being pretty heavy of a workload, but that is a really great way to make some cash, you know, for college. I know there are, my next door neighbor actually, her son knocked on my door a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was great. They were repainting the addresses on the curbs, asking the neighbors, hey, would you like us to kind of freshen up the paint? They were asking for like a small amount of money. And I said, oh, what are you guys raising money for? And they said, well, we want to buy cars. Oh. And I just thought that was cool. I talked to his mom about it later when I saw her. And I said, hey, I just thought that was really cool that, you know, they're going out there. They're trying to do something entrepreneurial, trying to, you know, get some money. But yeah, I've seen other teens. They're advertising for dog walking and, you know, babysitting and stuff. So yeah, even if it's not formal, get them into the job world. If you're just given money, you know, that's not real life, right? Eventually you're going to need to get a job. So being able to get a taste of that within some kind of safe boundaries when they're still under your roof can be really, really advantageous for them.
Yeah. And I think it teaches them like the power of making a commitment, right? If you had a formal job, it's like, well, you made a commitment to this. You did say you could go these 3 days, like you're, you kind of came up with that. We had, I was thinking about it when we lived up in Maryland. It didn't actually snow a ton there, but when it did snow, we had teenagers. Obviously, everyone was closed, you know, school was off, and we would have a bunch of high schoolers come around with shovels, and they're like, can we shovel your driveway? And they made a good money that way, going through the whole neighborhood, shoveling all the driveways. It's like $20. I shoveled your driveway. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, well, on to the last one, which I think we touched on quite a bit throughout, but it definitely deserves its own skill. So skill 8, working on all of the executive functioning skills and all of them, right? So time management, organization, planning, prioritization. So we mentioned that a little bit earlier, but these are, and we've actually, as you know, many of you probably know, we've done lots and lots of episodes on all of these. So we've done specific to each one of those that I mentioned. So ways to teach your child time management, for example, could be a really great skill to work on before they leave the house for just so many different reasons. And some of the things that come to mind, and I actually talk to parents about this one all the time, can your child set their own alarm clock? Like that's one. Sometimes parents are like, no, actually, they don't use their own alarm clock.
I'm their alarm clock.
Right? Oops. I'm their alarm clock. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, like we said before, like getting to appointments on time or getting to work on time, you know, making sure that they know how to do that. And then something that is really important, and we see this creep up a bit in academics, figuring out how long, do I know how long it's going to take me to do a project, right? Mm-hmm. But also being able to work backward and say, well, what time do I need to leave the house if I have to be at work at 4, right? And that requires that like a little bit of backward thinking, right? And oh, but what about traffic? Or what about, oh, I gotta get, still have to get my metro pass, right? Like all of those things that might be important, We just want to make sure that they have all those skills so that they can be successful when you're not doing it with them.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a, I mean, the executive functioning piece is so, so important. And we know that executive functioning skills are not fully developed until young adulthood anyways. Uh-huh. So don't be surprised if there's some hiccups along the way.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of kids are not paying attention to these things because mm-hmm. we handle a lot of stuff for them as parents. We know when we need to tell them, hey, it's time to go to baseball practice, because we can budget for how long the drive is going to be. But many times the kids are not, that's not on their radar. But I'll ask parents, hey, if you, you know, let's say you were really sick and you were staying in bed in the morning, do you think your 17-year-old would be able to get themselves to school? Like, do you think they would be able to even get up, get breakfast, kind of get themselves together? And let's just say they can just walk, right? Like, would they be able to get to school on time, 17 years old?
Right.
If the answer is no, that's good feedback for yourself. And hey, you know, maybe I need to pull back from motoring my kid, my teen, my almost adult, through all the steps of getting ready in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a story about that. So I was working with this family. I still work with this family quite a bit. And their kids are 10 and 12. And she had said that they both had the flu. Mom and dad had the flu and the kids didn't. And so she said, you know what, guys, like, you just got to do it tomorrow morning. I don't even have the energy to try to tell you what to do or how to do it. Like, you just got to do it, right? That's how what she said. And she goes, yeah. And Kristen, they did it. And I was like, yay!
Oh, that's awesome.
So like, they got up, they got themselves ready. And of course, like, they took the bus. Yeah. So they got up, got ready, got to the bus stop. And of course, I'm sure the parents were kind of monitoring, but she was like, I didn't even have to help them. Like, it was amazing. And then, of course, I said, now you know they can.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep. That's my first thought, too.
Right?
Those sort of things kind of might wane over time, but I think definitely that first time, it's probably exciting for them, too.
Right.
Show them, you know.
Uh-huh. Like, I'll show mom and dad we can do this.
Yeah. Get all the praise from their parents.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, well, so we're going to segue. We just have five kind of takeaways for parents now, switching gears and ending on these five takeaways, moving away from the skills.
Okay.
So as we think about us now as parents, the first thing that Kristen and I kind of thought through and did some research on is pausing. So taking a pause to assess how you feel about this transition, right? So let's say your child's getting ready to go off to college, or maybe they're moving out of the home. We know, especially in this day and age, kids tend to stay at home a little bit longer because of just financial reasons. Mm-hmm. It's not like how it used to be decades ago. But, you know, whatever that time is, assess how you feel about it. Expect there to be many changes environmentally, but also emotionally, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And talk about it. Talk about it with loved ones or friends. Maybe seek professional help if you're struggling, and be mindful of when, and kind of try to identify when you might be falling into some guilt trip behavior. We have seen that a little bit in talking with some parents, you know, why aren't you never calling me? We're gonna talk about this in a minute too, but you know, be careful about those guilt trips. Put yourself in your kids' shoes. They're probably excited. They're going out on their own. They don't want all the micromanagement or anything. They want to be able to live their life. So yeah, be careful and mindful of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then the next one, so after we, because I think it's so important, like you said, to just take a minute and like settle in, right? Like, how am I doing with this, right? Sure. And then once we do that, and maybe before we do that, plan ahead and think about, okay, things are going to be different. I actually have a call, you know, we do workplace consultations for our job as well. And I was actually talking to a client this morning who her kids are 16 and 18. And she was saying, I don't have any hobbies. Like, I need some hobbies. My hobbies are my kids, right?
Yeah.
And they're getting older. And she even said, she's like, they have like their little significant others now, like the little teenage dating, right? And she's like, I'm not as important anymore. They want to hang out with me anymore. And now what do I do? Right. And so I think it's so important to think ahead, and like when your kids are 16 or 17 or 18, thinking, okay, what else where are my other passions? What's my other purpose, right? Because it's there. We just forget about it for 18 years. So like bringing that back to the forefront can be so helpful.
Oh, absolutely. That's that emotional side of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they might physically be out of the house, but there are going to be some big emotions for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I would say this might be more heightened. I haven't seen the literature on this, but my guess is this transition might be more significant for parents who are not working outside the home or their main role is caregiving for their kids, right? So there's a huge identity transitioning happening for them. You know, if you've got a full-time job, you know, you still have that identity. Your 9-to-5 is probably going to be pretty similar. But for those families, where maybe one parent is staying at home and supporting the kind of caregiving, that's where this step, I think, really comes into play. Finding the value in your life. Like you said, what's your new purpose?
Exactly.
Yeah. So the next one, being realistic about expectations with your kids. So expectations about communication. Have a conversation with them about, hey, are we going to have maybe like a Sunday night video conference? Or are you okay if we have a funny text chain that just goes on with the members of our family? What's good for you? What about visits? How often are you going to see each other? If you have made it up in your mind, I'm going to see them. They're going to come over for Sunday dinner every week, and then they don't, and you feel let down. You know, that's a bummer. And so be realistic. Talk about these things and collaborate with your kids as opposed to kind of dictating. Because remember, they are adults. And if you're dictating, that may not go over so well.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if this is one of those things, and this kind of goes into the next tip, but I was just thinking, I wonder if it's one of those things where, you know how you say like teenagers tend to pull away, but they come back, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if when your young adult leaves the house, like maybe it's the same, right? Like they pull away, but don't worry, like they come back. And, you know, it makes me think about when I first left the house, I kind of went out on my own and I went to college and all this stuff. But then as I got older, I started to like really appreciate Sunday dinners at my mom's house.
Yeah.
And this was right before I got married. It's much different then once you get married, you have kids and all that. But before I had kids, I definitely, my sister and I would make it a point every Sunday. Okay, we're going to mom's. You going to mom's? Okay, I'm going to mom's, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like it is one of those things where it kind of does ebb and flow as they get their footing outside of the house, but maybe they'll come back around just like, you know, like I did. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that goes back to the core of be realistic about expectations, you know, and recognize and talk to other parents that have gone through it. Recognize that it's pretty typical for young adults to want to go out and spread their wings and not, you know, just stay with the parents. So, that is a really nice thing that a lot of times, as you get older, you start to really appreciate your parents and come back around.
It's so true.
I experienced the same thing with my family. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the next tip there, so acknowledge that you'll have a new relationship with your adult child. And so, like I said, you know, that relationship might ebb and flow over time, but it's important to just go in going, okay, this isn't going to be like it was before they left the house. And what does that new normal look like? And maybe when, kind of like you had said, right, having those expectations ahead of time. So when you are making plans, you're still being respectful of their life and their boundaries. So it might look something like, I know you have a lot of tests coming up this week. We do have a birthday party for your uncle. Do you think there's any chance you could make it? Right. So it's like being respectful of their time, but also showing them the importance of family.
Yeah. I like that. Having a new way of approaching.
Right.
You know, it's not an obligation.
It's like, it's your uncle. You're going to be there. Right? Like, that might not work when they're 22.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, struggling through law school or something like that. And they've got a, you know, demanding job. Yeah. I think, being realistic and acknowledging the new normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that brings us to our very last kind of takeaway for parent preparation, which is embracing your new identity and see this as a positive step. Maybe celebrate your child's new independence. Celebrate your achievement as a parent. You know, you raised your child. They're well and able to go out and live on their own, which is really exciting. We can also reframe this a transition as a time for yourself too, right? Mm-hmm. So think of it as a glass half full. You know, what can you enjoy now? This kind of ties back to one of the other things as well, but really kind of embracing this new identity, reframe it as a positive thing. I think about my mom too. She has always done, you know, been involved and stayed active, but now she's retired from teaching and she just has the best life ever. She visits with the grandkids. We see her every Thursday. And being a retired teacher, it's great because she comes and does all the homework with my kids and, you know, helps check the answers and just hangs out with us. It's just a great, great time. And she does her Zumba classes and then she goes and plays pickleball and hangs out with her, you know, goes to lunch with her girlfriends and works in the backyard and, you know, like does the landscaping. It's just, she's just living it up.
Right.
And it's great. It's great to see her, you know, experience the kind of post child rearing years in a really nice, positive way.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so nice. It's funny. It is funny because this is like secondary to this, but like once people hit retirement too, like then what do you do? Like first it's like, okay, your kids leave the house. Then it's like, oh, but now I'm retired. Now what? It's like level two, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
My husband was like, I think my dad took up yoga. And I was like, really? And so,
wow,
so he just started embracing yoga. And I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, that's so yeah, I think finding your new identity is a really good tip.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have this in our prep, but I wanted to mention for some families where transitioning out to the adulthood years may take a less kind of traditional approach. A lot of the families we work with do have children with developmental disabilities. And so that might be a transition to a different sort of maybe supported living opportunity and so on. But either way, I love pacer.org. You probably know of the site.
Oh, yeah.
So good. It has a ton of resources in terms of older students, young adults, you know, college or employment opportunities, independent living, just you name it, a ton of stuff. So I really like Pacer. If your child does have a disability and you're not kind of doing that traditional out of the house track, it's a really great resource.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to mention.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully we covered everything for, you know, preparing your children and also preparing for us, right? When when our kids are leaving the house. So right now I'm going to focus on potty training. We're going to get through that. But I have all these tips for when I get there. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on our 47th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. On our next episode, we will discuss helping our kids build healthy relationships. Until then, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode.
You've been listening to Behaviorally Speaking with Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi, brought to you by Rethink Care. Find out more at rethinkcare.com. You can find past podcast episodes under the Resources tab. We also invite you to subscribe, follow, like, and leave us feedback wherever you listen to podcasts. Your feedback helps us prepare topics and content for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day.